Pre-recording this message for broadcast on WWDB 860 AM in Philadelphia, as well as WWWE 1100 AM in Atlanta, Georgia. I thought I was pre-recording this for Facebook Live, but it appears that I may have some folks watching us live. So, hey, man, to God be the glory. We are here today. It's just a blessing and honor to greet you today. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we are taking a deviation from our series, Being Black in America, in regards to the tragic events that happened yesterday. So I want to start off. Our subject today is entitled ALM, Asian Lives Matter. I have two guests on the line today, Brother in Christ, Pastor Robert Johnson from Tinley Temple United Methodist Church here in Philadelphia. And then for the first time on Conversation Unplugged since we've been broadcasting on WWWE 1100 AM, Atlanta, Georgia, I have my brother in Christ, Pastor Livingston. We call him Coach Livingston. He is a church starter like myself. We're involved with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and he pastors Remnant Church. Now, before I get started, can I just start something right quick? As you know, I'm a fire starter. Pastor Livingston, you're on the air, right? Pastor Livingston on? Hey, Pastor Livingston isn't on yet. How about Pastor Johnson, you on?
I am here.
Okay. Hey, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Livingston on. We're waiting for Pastor Livingston to get on because we are, he and I just finished meeting with CBF. I'm a Sigma, you're an Alpha, he's a Q. So when he gets on, let the trash talking begin.
Oh, hey. Lord.
Oh, Lord. Hey, brother, oh, how you doing? Before we go any further, man, you're doing great work at Tinley Temple United Methodist Church. But we get on the subject, you had vaccinations that's been taking place at your church, correct?
I've been actually been getting vaccinations that have been done at Temple of Divine Love Church. I've been working with them on, and they've been a wonderful resource for the community and have linked us, many of our members, to go over there and get vaccinations, especially because it was so hard to get vaccinations in South Philadelphia.
Right. Well, hey, let's get started today. I want to start off with what was reported in the Associated Press. And what was reported in the Associated Press are the following. It says, and I quote, let me backtrack here. It says, and I quote, Georgia massage parlor shootings leave 8 dead, man captured. So shootings at the 2 massage parlors in Atlanta, Georgia, and one in the suburbs Tuesday evening left 8 people dead, many of them women of Asian descent, authorities said. A 21-year-old man suspected in the shootings was taken into custody in Southwest Georgia hours later after a manhunt, police said. The attacks began around 5 p.m. when 5 people were shot at Young's Asian Massage Parlor in a strip mall near rural area of Ackworth, about 30 kilometers north of Atlanta, Georgia. Cherokee County spokesman Jay Baker said. 2 people died at the scene, and 3 were transported to a hospital where 2 of them also died, Baker said. Share with me your thoughts about these tragic events. It is a tragic event, and I could not go any further without talking about these events that took place yesterday. Talk to me just through your head, Pastor Jones.
It is tragic in anybody's community when this happened, but this is specifically tragic because of where we can make the obvious connection. On the rise across America, we're seeing violence in the Asian community. And all of this stems from the former president's racist and unfounded claiming that it was the China flu. It was people who went, even though it was originated in China, but he made this a racial bashing, if you will, of those in who are Asian descent. And of course, when we see that, we can't help but to know that there are those sick-minded people who will take what he has said and has run with it, and has caused many people to, out of ignorance, out of fear, and out of just sheer racial hatred, have started the violence toward our brothers and sisters in the Asian community.
Yeah, it is sick. You know, when the incident was first reported, or when I saw the incident on MSNBC News, I'm going to be very candid with you, first person I called was my youngest daughter, who's in Atlanta. Now, it's not that I automatically speculated or assumed that she was at one of those Asian massage parlors, but, you know, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. How's your children, or how's your child doing, who was in Atlanta? So that was the first thing. But you're absolutely correct. You know, all lives matter. You know what I mean? And we also are advocates of Black Lives Matter, but it doesn't make any sense for the vitriol that's been, how can you say, thrown at those of Asian descent, placing them at the front of this coronavirus that's taking place, which I think is totally ludicrous, absurd, and idiotic. And I think that, you know, we as collective voices must come together and say, this gotta stop. You know, we can't have this in our country, and we can't embrace it, can't accept it, and we can't put up with it. It doesn't make any sense. At the time that it happened, it says no arrest at the scene, but it said around 5:50, police in Buckhead neighborhood of Atlanta responding to a call of robbery in progress from three women dead and an apparent gunshot wounded at Gold Spa. While they were at the scene, they learned a call reporting shots fired at another spa across the street, across the street in front of a woman who appears to have been shot dead inside the business. It appears that they may be Asian, Atlanta Police Chief Rodney Bryant said. So let's raise the stake here. Was this a hate crime?
Of course. Of course. You cannot have these many people shot and those who have been killed at three different locations, all of the same race, and not say that it's not spurned by hate. You can't say it. It's obvious. It's obvious to anyone who looks at it that this is a hate crime.
Mm-hmm. Well, the shooter claims that he did it for another reason, but we're gonna dig into that in a few minutes. I firmly believe when I saw, because it seems like it was strictly targeted at three sites, and three sites who happen to be people of Asian descent. And if there are people of Asian descent of three sites, there's no way that you can convince me any differently that this was not a hate crime.
And to make it even hit home even more, and I want to see more outrage among our African American brothers and sisters in the churches and standing up for our Asian brothers and sisters, because we know what it is to feel hate crimes. We know what it is to feel when Pastor Pinckney and members of his congregation were shot and killed. We know what it is with bombings in our communities, and we know what it is to have to be targeted because of the color of your skin or your ethnicity. And I think that when this two things happen in other minority communities, the African American community has to stand up side by side and say, listen, we know what you're going through, and any crime against any minority, we need to stand together and shout from the rooftops that this is something that we will not tolerate.
You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. It goes on to say in this article reported by the Associated Press, South Korea's foreign ministry said in a statement Wednesday that its diplomats in Atlanta have confirmed from police that four victims who died are women of Korean descent. The ministry said the office of the consulate, Georgia General in Atlanta, is trying to confirm the nationality of the women. The killing came amid a recent wave of attacks against Asian Americans that coincided with the spread of the coronavirus across the United States. First conversation and plug, as an African American pastor and leader, I denounce these actions and I stand in solidarity with the Asian American community. There's no way that I can sit back and turn a blind eye to these atrocities that's taken place. And yet, I cannot also turn a blind eye to the reason that racism is not just targeted towards African Americans, but racism is targeted to people of color, especially Black, Brown, especially Asian. And there's no way that we can get by and say that this is not a hateful act and it must be addressed and we must speak out about this nonsense that's taking place. When you saw it yesterday, go ahead, Pastor. You were going to say something. Sorry.
No, I wasn't. Go ahead.
When you first heard about it, what went through your mind?
Well, first, I need to say that I was shocked. And as the news came across and the loss of life, the first thing that I began to think is this going to be the powder keg that's going to spur even more bold actions from those sick individuals who are listening to rhetoric and not listening to common sense? The other thing that spurred me was a sense of real sadness at the fact that we have these type of things going on in the midst of our community. Because believe it or not, Asian people are all in our communities. From hair stores to nail salons to the restaurant on the corner, and they're all in our communities. And for this to happen like this at three separate locations, I said that this is nothing but utter racial hate at its climax. And I was really hurt because it not only just hurts that community, but it hurts everyone that's in that community.
So my producer just informed me that Reverend Jay Livingston is on. Pastor Livingston, you're on with us? Hey, Brett. So I'll tell you what, as we're waiting for Pastor Livingston to transition on to our call, we're going to take a 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM as well as WWDB 1100 AM Atlanta, Georgia. So let's take a station break. Let's check to see if we can get Jay Livingston on the line, and then we'll continue. Let's go to a station break.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable, if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of different types of heart disease, like AFib, which is a type of irregular heartbeat. It affects both women and men, but women with AFib have a higher risk of stroke and death than men. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. Diet and exercise are key to staying healthy. Know the risks. Women Heart does something really unique, solely focusing on women and providing peer-to-peer support. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
Conversation and plug on WWDB 860 AM. Now, Coach Jay, you back on? Are you? We able to get you?
Yes, hey, sir. Jay.
Hey, Coach Jay. Hey, man. This is Pastor. Well, it's Pastor Livingston. We call him Coach Jay, Remnant Church of Atlanta, Georgia. How you doing? You're on the line with myself and Pastor Robert Johnson of Tinley Temple United Methodist Church, you know, here in the city of Philadelphia. First, you make history since we've started Conversation Unplugged. And we've been able to broadcast simultaneously, which this is a pre-recording. It will be broadcast on Thursday. You are the first guest we've had from Atlanta, Georgia. So thank you for joining Conversation Unplugged. Now, towards the end, we will trash talk. I'm a Sigma. You are Q. Pastor Johnson is an Alpha. Pastor Johnson and I go about it all the time.
And I'm
going to tell you what his argument is. He's always going to talk about the first. Amen. He's always going to tell us who was the first.
First is going to be last, and the last hoot is always first.
Here we go. Let the last talking of the divine nine begin. Amen. Amen. Hey, Coach Jay, talk to me. You're in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, your church is in Atlanta, Georgia. Can you tell us, educate the listeners here in the Philadelphia area? You got, you know, ear to the ground, boots on the ground in Atlanta, Georgia. What's the vibe like in Atlanta, Georgia right now in regards to the shooting that left 8 Asian Americans dead at, you know, Georgia massage parlors throughout Atlanta, Georgia, or the Atlanta area?
Well, right now it seems to be more of a similar, continuous kind of situation. There's a stream of violence that's been in Atlanta for a period of time now. I think what's happening is we've become desensitized with the amount of violence that we have. And a lot of the people in the area now are kind of pointing fingers at Mayor Bottoms, which is, I think, is an injustice. She's done a phenomenal job. But a lot of people are not happy with the fact that we're having so much violence and that the violence levels are going up and she's the person in charge. So with that being said, it seems to be just at the same level that it has always been. But right now, because it's that white supremacist movement and a lot of the hate crimes going on now, especially with this one individual, they're not quite sure what his motives are, but I think most of the people in the area have already decided what his motives are, especially with this ideal of the coronavirus being the Chinese flu or Asian flu parlayed by what has already left us. So with that in mind, it's a hotbed, but we'll be able to manage it and handle it, I'm sure.
Wow, great. Pastor Johnson, I came across, and Coach Jay, I came across another article that said Christian leaders wrestle with Atlanta shooting suspects' Southern Baptist ties. And let me say as a disclaimer, I'm not saying that the Southern Baptist had anything, their theology, et cetera, had anything to do with the shootings. I'm just reading the headline that was featured. I believe that was either on CNN or the Washington Post. I forget where my source here. But it says, years before being suspected of killing 8 people in a suburb of Atlanta, including 6 Asian women, Robert Aaron Long was active in his Southern Baptist congregation, his youth pastor said Wednesday. It goes on to say, Long, 21, was arrested Tuesday in the 3 shootings. As a teenager, Long would stack chairs, clean floors at the Crabapple First Baptist Church in Milton, Georgia, and Brett Cottrell, who led the youth ministry at Crabapple from 2008 to 2017. Long's father was considered an important lay leader in the church, Cottrell said, and they would attend Sunday morning evening activities as well as Wednesday evening meetings and mission trips. There's nothing that I'm aware of at Crabapple that would give approval to this, Cottrell said in an interview referring to the shootings. I'm assuming it's as shocking and numbing to them as it has been to me. Share with me your thoughts, starting with Pastor Johnson and then Pastor Livingston, on the information that was just read.
Well, first thing that we got to realize is that some of the shooters, some of the young people who are shooters in the school shootings, in the mass school shootings, grew up in church.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, you know, just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're devoid of sin.
Right.
And to question I mean, you can grow up in the church and still has church grew up in you.
Right. Right.
And it's not to say that the church he grew up in espoused hate or espoused racism, but the church is just one microcosm of a person's life. You can go to church, but yet and still find many, many avenues to hate online. And young people are good at trolling things online. And if the mind is not right, then young people can become susceptible to the messages of hate that will overwhelm the messages of good that may be coming from the church.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Your thoughts, Pastor Livingston?
Well, I'm going down that same sidewalk with Pastor. You know, this ideal of radicalization takes place all the time. And just because you go to church don't mean that the church is in you. And I think what happens is our church leaders from the evangelical side of it is we're talking about, you know, the peace, the happiness, and the goodness and the grace of God. But the reality of it is sometimes that don't meet the streets. And what meets the streets needs to have a conversation that talks about the realities of what's really going on and stop trying to allow people to say, well, you know, I'm a sinner and I'm always a sinner, but, you know, I'm saved by grace. No, there's some things that you got to do because you're known by the fruit that you bear. So some of our church leaders has got to put a foot down and say, this is wrong. The radicalization, white supremacy is wrong. And you got to call it out so that they know it. Now, I think some of the reasons why they don't is because they may get that backlash from the congregational members who do believe that that's okay.
Wow. I want to read the end of the article, Pastor Livingston, because Russell Moore, head of the Southern Baptist Convention's public policy arm, called the shooting shocking and said he has been increasingly hearing from Asian Americans about the escalating immoral and unjust bigotry that they're facing. So kind of like a denunciation of what has taken place. Has this been the only event in Atlanta, Georgia, Pastor Livingston, that's been reported about attacks on Asian Americans, or have there been others, but it took this tragic event for it to hit the national news for everyone to see?
Well, it kind of started back in 2020, in that perilous times where we recognized that this was the flu. We wouldn't call it what it was, COVID-19. We called it the Asian flu, the Chinese flu, and they made mockery of it. And there was people in high positions that made these kind of statements. And at that time, the Asians were feeling like they were also being attacked. The funny thing about it is, you know, it's like, it's not until it happens to you or your people that you realize that there's some people out here that don't have it wrapped too tight and that needs more desensitizing to the radicalization that's going on in America. And I think that's part of it. Yes, those were always threats, just like it's always threats against, you know, people of color. But they don't get mentioned until it becomes a really big thing or until people of non-color wind up being hurt, shot, or killed.
Wow. This article goes on to say Cottrell, who was the shooter, I believe he's a youth pastor, said he viewed a 2018 video of Long describing his conversion to the Christian faith. Let me say, Cottrell was not the shooter. That was an error. It was Long. So it says Cottrell said he viewed a 2018 video of Long describing his conversion to the Christian faith at around 8 years old when he was baptized. Cottrell considered him a typical teenager growing up in the suburbs of Atlanta. It's not usually for young men to be into video games, Cottrell said. Was he around guns and hunting? Yeah. Would I consider him to be obese? No. Was it part of the life? Yeah. At the time, I wouldn't classify it as one of the main things he was involved in. He had been deer hunting? Yeah. I don't know that I would have considered it to be a massive chunk of his life. But during those teenage years, Cottrell said the church youth group was his deal, and Long was part of a high school group that met for Bible study once a week before school and helped a backyard Bible club with songs and games for kids. Does this create a bad image for witnessing as followers of Jesus Christ to have someone who's in the church? And I'm not that, how can you say, a holy roller, which is another subject for another radio show. You know, the way Kirk Franklin has received vitriol for his challenge that he's faced with his older son, I would say that's a private matter at this point. And, you know, we just lift Kirk in prayer. We leave his son in prayer, et cetera. Won't even go down the road to some folks when even questioning his salvation, which is, you know, obtuse. I will say that per se. But going back here, does this create bad witnessing for us as a church when you have someone converted, born into the church, et cetera, takes a gun, takes somebody else's life? Now his church is wrestling with, he was a member, part, and now he's made headlines because of this tragic event that's taken place.
This is tough. And I'm going to tell you why it's tough. It's tough because pastors all across this country, in white churches and black churches, and we all have people in our congregations at one point who may do something. I know of a pastor friend of mine right now who's going through the fact that someone who grew up in his church is accused of homicide and is accused. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the fact that it's a bad look for our witness. What it shows the world is that being a Christian is not a perfect science and that we struggle like everyone else. I think the problem comes when we want to create a holier-than-thou attitude and then fall and then can't stand the criticism that comes with the fall because we put ourselves and our leaders and whoever else on a pedestal. I had not heard you say in the article, and if I've missed it, I'm sorry, but I have not heard Cottrell say that he condemns the act.
I need to backtrack and do research on it. Let me take a station break. Let me go back and take a look.
Because my question is, I don't care how many of your members are money givers or whatever. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and you got to condemn what's wrong in the world, especially when it comes to something like this.
Well, he did say, and off quote, he said, "There's nothing that I'm aware of at Crab Apple that would give approval to this." Cottrell said in an interview, referring to the shootings, "I'm assuming it's as shocking and numbing to them as it has been for me." So he said, "There's nothing that I'm aware of at Crab Apple that would have given approval to this." So I would take that as a denunciation.
Okay.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Denunciation or does it? Go ahead.
No, that's not a denunciation. That's just saying that we didn't do it. But what was done was that it came from that tree. So what does that tell you? What's then being taught at the root of the tree? What's there? What's not being said? What's being glorified and what's being kept silent? You know, the whole idea of the racial injustice and the racial hate that we have is a sin stained on America that hasn't decided yet to forgive it or to ask for forgiveness. It's just like we just go on as usual. And then what happens with the brothers and sisters or people of color, it winds up, it doesn't give the church a black eye, but it does make them become a little bit less trusting in the institution of the church because of what they see that's outside the church. Because you could say the same thing about the black-on-black shooting and crime that happens in the very city next to the very church that has the 15 alcohol stores or the 15 clubs that's out there. And so the whole ideal, I think, that has to do with what he's going through as an individual, Robert Long, there's something that made him make that turn. It's something that created within him that hatred or and I should be a little less judgmental on that, because the indication right now is the investigation hasn't shed any more light on that. So I think we may be jumping the gun, and it may just be that there's some mental health issues here, as opposed to it being an evil thing. But I do believe that what some people mean for evil, God can make for good.
So let's do this. On that thought, let us now go to a 30-second station break on WWDB 860 AM and WWWE 1100 AM, Atlanta, Georgia.
Do you let other people order for you at a restaurant?
He'll have the salmon lyonnaise.
No, I won't. Or pick the movie you're going to see?
She'd like a ticket to Attack on Rage Mountain.
Really?
Yeah, come on. So why would you let others make all the important decisions about how your life is going to be when you get older? I mean, is it okay with you if your kids decide where you're going to live?
My kids? Are you ready?
Are you kidding?
Or perfect strangers choose who will be taking care of you?
Not gonna happen.
No, Better visit longtermcare.gov, the trusted information site that helps you find your own path forward without selling you anything. It takes you step by step through everything you need to consider about aging and all your options. Longtermcare.gov. Stay in charge by planning now or pay later.
How about a mohawk?
How about a mohawk? How about I put my foot right... Oh, hi, honey.
Okay, we're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM. So, hey, let's get back to the conversation here. What I want to share with you is it's very interesting. South Carolina, someone takes a gun, fires and kills a group of African Americans. Then we have the Jewish synagogue incident that occurred. And I'm missing one. It just came to my head. And then we got this situation that happened here in Atlanta, Georgia. That something is seriously wrong, you know, that's happening here in America. I would like to say that I pulled up this article on the USA Today. I believe it's USA. Yes, it is. USAtoday.com. And it states the following. The suspect in the fatal shootings at three Georgia massage parlors has told authorities he blamed the massage parlors for providing an outlet for his addiction to sex. Robert Aaron Lewis viewed the spas as a temptation that he wanted to eliminate, according to the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office spokesman. Mayor Bottom said the spas in Atlanta were not on the police's radar. As far as we know in Atlanta, these are legally operating businesses. Yet early signs indicate the business may have been entirely above board, leaving the women working there particularly vulnerable to abuse and violence. Talk to me about his reasoning.
You know, that's another stereotype. That's a blatant stereotype. That Asian massage parlors are a bastion of sex and over-sexualized women, and where men go to have their sexual fantasies completed. So that is a convenient excuse,
right.
And it may be that he had those issues. But those issues that he's saying, for me, ring hollow when you're still dealing with a rise of violence in the Asian community. And mm-hmm. So, again, now to go back to your first point, and if he had these issues and he was in church and... Come on now, nobody knew,
right.
So I'm just saying, to me, it seems a little bit too convenient. And if he has this addiction and he went against Asians, I still say it's a hate crime.
Yeah.
I still say it's a hate crime.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's still misogyny. You know, it's,
yes.
It's still against women. So, he killed six women, right? I believe it's six.
Yes.
Six, and they
yes.
were six Asian women. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, let's throw away the ideal of the race and talk about gender. So it's okay that it's not a race issue. So now it's okay that he can go around and kill women. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's weak either way. The fact of the matter is, and I would almost say that it might be the pre-setup for the defense.
Most definitely.
But like,
yeah.
But
yeah.
like Pastor
yeah.
is saying, it's still a hate crime.
Because he said here, and I'm not trying to be grotesque or anything like that, but I'm going to push the envelope a little bit, not to be risque, but since it's out there, let me push it just a little bit. Again, he says, Robert Aaron Long viewed the spas as a temptation that he wanted to eliminate. According to the Cherokee County spokesperson, let me go back again. He basically says that the fatal shootings at the Three Georgia Passage massage parlors he blamed the massage parlors for providing an outlet for his addiction to sex. So if the parlors provided an outlet for his addiction, he not once said he went to any of those massage parlors to satisfy his addiction. And is the parlor the responsibility of the addiction, or is it his own decision? You see where I'm going here?
Yeah, it's him. He's got the problem. Why he got to kill somebody else? Because he's got a problem.
Yeah.
Hey, but dig this. But dig this. Watch this. Why not prostitutes? Why not prostitutes? Why not peep shows?
Mm-hmm.
Why not any of these other outlets?
Right.
You understand
right.
what I'm saying? I'm not saying that he should have done anything, but what I'm saying
mm-hmm.
is it's, and you go to three separate places.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't tell me that he's not targeting people of a certain race, because he goes
mm-hmm.
to three separate places that are inhabited by persons of Asian descent. I'm sorry. That doesn't fly for me.
It's always a premeditation.
It's race
like
and
you.
Gender.
So yeah.
Yes.
He's killing race and gender.
Yes.
Yes. And so, you know, if you go back to the thing that they say that he was in church and it's a shock and everything like that. Listen, God made us. You got me? He made us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so what gives you a right to take out who God made? That's the first thing. It reminds me of the excuse for Kenosha, Wisconsin. Person pulls out, he leaves Illinois, go to Kenosha, Wisconsin. I think he killed about two people at a Black Lives Rally, protest, and then tried to claim it was self-defense. And now we have this gentleman here, baby gentleman, I'm being gracious, but this person here decides to kill six. No, decides to kill eight, if I'm not mistaken. Six of them were women, and then want
mm-hmm.
to blame the killing on his justification for it was because of his addiction to sex. You got me? So you're not taking ownership for your actions. What it is reported on the USA Today, which we got to highlight and really talk about, it says Asian communities were already set on edge. It says we were alarmed by the rate of violence and hate directed towards us, says Russell Jung, who created Stop AAPI Hate, which tracks incidents against Asian American specific Islander communities. The shooting is, again, the worst type of violence we could go through. It can't continue. So now this particular act now places the Asian American communities, you know, in a state of heightened alert. And then I'm concerned about the Asian American businesses, massage parlors. You know, as a brother, I'll be candid with you. I get medicures and pedicures, you know. Now my antennas is heightened up. What happened if I go in there and I'm a victim by circumstance because I'm a consumer? You know, it makes you, this creates fear, and I'm concerned. How is it going to affect the economic base as well?
Well, I tell you what I really think in regards to the support that the Asian communities, along with all the other communities of faith and groups, when we had the riots with the shooting or the kneeling on the neck. They came out in droves and supported them, and I think we ought to do the same because it's not just a black thing; it's a people thing. And, mm-hmm. and if they don't get this right or get this correct, it's no peace. So if there's no peace, then we have to make sure that they understand whoever they is, being the powers that be, that we just can't stand for it anymore.
Yeah.
Whether it's Asian, black, Hispanic, no, it's time's up for that now. This whole ideal,
yeah.
And I hate to keep taking it back there, but that's where it seems to lead from, and that's that white supremacist ideal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think we got to deal with that as an issue in America.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think also. That the major thing that we have right now is to understand that if there was ever a time when the African American church, the Asian church, and community leaders on both sides, as well as Hispanic brothers and sisters, can sit down at a table and come together, because believe it or not, hate among racial lines impacts us all. And now is the time for us to come together. And now is the time for us to rally. And now is the time for us to show solidarity and to say to the powers that be on both sides, we're not going to take this anymore. The days of you guys treating us and dividing us, because I got news for you. Some people are going to try to use this to divide communities. And we have to show a united front to say Asian lives matter. Black lives matter, Hispanic lives matter, and we have to get together in our communities and develop coalitions that are going to help uplift our communities so we can start working together. And because I believe we're stronger together than we are apart.
And, you know, let me add this, Pastor, just for a moment, because Pastor is spot on with that, right? And here's the other thing. Now, we talked about, did he give the church a black eye, right? But the reality of it is, did it give our white brothers and sisters that on the right side of righteousness, did it give them a black eye? Because now do everybody start looking at all white people in this same context? And that can't be either. You know, so white lives matter too. Blue lives matter too. You know, all lives matter, right? But when they try to divide us by saying, no, this, you know, all lives matter, but you keep killing at a rate of a particular color, then that makes all the difference in the world. So we've got to stand together in unity in our community, no matter what color. The problem is the ignorance has got to go. That's what we need to kill. We need to kill that ignorance.
This is great unplugging. I want to quote some more. There was a question here. Not questioning the statement. It says, leaders of the Asian American Advancing Justice Atlanta called on local and state government officials to provide crisis intervention sources and address the root causes of violence and hate. Listen to this, that the Asian women murdered yesterday were working highly vulnerable and low-wage jobs during an ongoing pandemic speaks directly to the compounding impact of misogyny, structural violence, and white supremacy. Phi Nguyen, the group's litigation director, said in a statement. What are your thoughts about that? That's very powerful.
That's what I'm saying. It's not just race. It's misogynistic. You know, this young man, like I said, and again, I'll say it because the investigation isn't complete,
right?
But what we've heard so far about him trying to kill what he feels is threatening him, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
But the bottom line to it is, there is a radicalization going on, and it happened back 50, 60 years ago, when in the uprising of the Klan, when that started coming back. And that kind of hurts everybody in the community. When we allow these kinds of people to to do what they're doing, the people who are with us, whether they're white or people of color, they also are afraid, because now they don't want their properties burned. They don't want people pillaging them when they haven't done anything wrong. So they are on the same side, or could possibly be on the same side. We all need to get together and make that happen. So I'm not sure if he's really, really a person who is mentally ill, or if this is a person who is a racist extremist. I don't know. But what his actions indicate is that he is. And from what I understand, we know him by the tree, that the fruit that we bear.
Exactly. And I think that, I think to piggyback on Pastor's point is simply this, is that the climate of the last four, the climate has been stoked for racial violence against persons of color has been stoked over the past 4 years in the former president's regime.
Right.
He has made it. He has made it acceptable. He has made it to be something that is that he gets carte blanche and cover to white supremacy, to those who want to harm people of listen, he did it with the African American community. He did it with the Hispanic community and those over the South border. He's done it with the Asian community. He has made this environment right for those to come from out of the corners where they were put and bring them back mainstream. Proud Boys, anytime you have groups of people who are going to attack the Capitol, and there was only just two black brothers that I saw there, Asians, but everybody there was white going up to the Capitol, and he said, good job, we love you and we with you. And he has never denounced, except when he had to, and that was flippantly, white supremacy in any form. A white supremacist cannot really denounce another white supremacist. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So he has created this. Now, whether the young man had the issue or didn't have the issue, he still picked out a minority group.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And my last point to say is this. Listen to this. The mere fact that they're saying that they were working a low-wage job in the midst of the pandemic and that they were women who were vulnerable, I got news for you. That is the plight of African-Americans, Asians, and Latinos, and whites all across this country since the pandemic has hit.
It says here in the USA Today, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. It says in the USA Today, it says women report hate crimes 2.3 times more than men. And Koreans are the second largest ethnic group that reports experiencing hate, according to the new data. The South Korean Foreign Ministry said Wednesday that its diplomats in Atlanta confirmed 4 of the women killed Tuesday were of Korean descent. There is what we call intersectional oppression that seen as vulnerable, both because they're Asian and because they're women, Jung said. This is a subject we can't just touch today and then leave and then not bring it back up. This is a conversation we got to unplug more. And it's not just a conversation we should specifically talk about hate crimes against Asian Americans, but hate crimes against African Americans, hate crimes against Jewish Americans, hate crimes against Asian Americans, because the common denominator is hate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, that's just the bottom line. You know, when I'm back taking karate, Pastor Johnson and Pastor Jay, on a limited basis from the car accident, but there was something that happened yesterday. Some of them thought it was cute, but I was on guard. So we are taking karate, right? And there was a group of Caucasian males that was standing outside the window making fun and mocking what we were doing. And, you know, they thought it was a joke. Those that was inside, you know, predominantly Caucasian, thought it was a joke and everything. Because I guess, you know, because it was in their age range. But I'm on guard. This is before I found out about the shooting in Atlanta. And I'm not saying they were probably just adolescents, just being adolescents. I'm going to be very candid. But for me, it wasn't a joke to me. because with the climate that we're in right now, I don't know how it's going to escalate, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? So I'm out, I'm inside, and there's like three or four of them, and they're making noise outside of the karate school. The karate school is Asian. But it's not Asian. And so we're at a heightened state now where you're on edge when you go to church. When you can get back in, you don't know who's coming in. It's coming to worship or coming to destroy. So now you're taking more cards. You don't know if they're watching just to be watching or they're watching to destroy. We're at an age now in this range where what was done in private is so public now that folks got a green license to be hateful. And to Senator Ron Johnson, when you basically said those who marched at the Capitol, you didn't feel any threats. But those who were Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you got me? You would have been more concerned about it. But this guy wasn't Antifa, and this guy wasn't Black Lives Matter.
Well, I'll tell you this. As a pastor of an African-American church in a gentrified area,
yeah.
I hate to say this, but I can have Bible study and have a great time. But if a Caucasian walks into my Bible study, I am at a heightened sense of alert since the shootings. I'm keeping my head on a swivel, you know. But on the other hand, let me do the flip side. As I'm going to my car, and if I see a group of young African American boys running, I'm on a heightened sense of alert because of the shootings and the violence that I have in my own community. And so we're living in a heightened sense of fear,
right?
Being people of faith, and faith and fear can't occupy the same space.
No.
So I'm saying that because I am more fearful of violence on any level, but I know that there's a bunch of yahoos and wackoos out here of other races who would just like to take my church out, take me out, because they haven't given a license to. By the former president.
Wow. It's coming up time for us to begin to unplug this show so we can plug back in this Thursday. In 1 minute, between the both Pastor Jay as well as you, Pastor Johnson, well, two Pastor Jays, I didn't think about that. No, Coach Jay. Pastor Johnson, yeah, got thrown off a little bit. What can we as a church do in the midst of the killings of our brothers, of our sisters, you know, who got killed in the parlors in Atlanta, Georgia?
On Tuesday night, I had a podcast, and I invited a pastor and a business leader, and the topic was, what do we tell them? What do we tell our communities? What do we tell our congregations? What do we tell our family members about how to deal with this? You see, one of the problems that we have is that hate is something that is taught. People don't grow up just hating people just to be hating people. It's taught. And so this ideal, it's intentional. And so
right.
You have to ask yourself, well, what's the intention? What's the intention behind it? And we find that Homeland Security has already decided that the number one problem in America is white supremacy. Now, does that mean that everybody that's white is a white supremacist?
Yeah.
No. Does that mean that every black person is going to be a victim of white supremacy? No. But what it does mean is that America has to come to a point where we have an open, honest dialogue about allowing these individuals who believe in that kind of nonsense that we can't have it anymore. We've got to end it, and we can't let our leadership be a part of it. But else, as leaders, we got to tell our people what the real deal is, and that is, there's white supremacists in America, and it ain't gone nowhere yet.
So, Pastor Johnson, you have the final comment, and then we're going to have to bring this show to a close.
Okay, I just think that this is a perfect opportunity to get people of like-mindedness together. It's a perfect opportunity for people in our community to reach out to our brothers and sisters in the Asian community and come up with a dialogue where there never has been before and a solution in our own community, and starts on the grassroots level.
There's the music playing, and I would say the first will be last and the last will be first. And when y'all get to heaven, when you see that royal blue sky and that pure white cloud, you're going to be like, wow, Pastor, what is this like? To my alpha brother, to my cute brother, God bless you. I think I got the last word. Y'all take care. Thank you for listening to the Conversation. My brother, we'll come back next week. Take care and God bless.